Muslims can't buy real estate?
He's being super strict because of usury. No.
Chat. Other Muslims in the chat, can I?
No, you can't buy real estate. But
I'm Muslim and I try to stay away from riba.
How much stuff do I have to give up? Pork, fun, alcohol.
Said no. Moderate drinking isn't good for your health.
Quit. You just have to accept the fact that like alcohol is not in your best interest as a man, and it's going to set you up for failure.
Is that the more you drink, the higher your risk of early death.
Waste of time, though. It really is a waste of time.
A very good friend of mine, Brother Eddie from The Dean Show, who I've known for a number of years, from the very beginning when he started it. I was among his early guests. And mashallah, our brother Eddie has been very active in promoting da'wah, spreading the message of Islam, and he has now taken everything to the next level. Eddie has now, after a number of years on The Dean Show, taken the da'wah efforts to the next level, which is that of establishing a da'wah center for the USA. He is about to launch it in its fullness, but it has already started in Florida, and he needs your support. This is an effort which began already some months back, and they need your support for spreading the message of Islam in the USA. So my brothers and sisters, reach out to support him. We need your support now.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, assalamu alaikum, greetings of peace. Now, when new Muslims enter into Islam, sometimes they get hit with a shock. Oh my.
So I don't claim to be a great Muslim because...
Yo, that's... How much stuff do I have to give up? Pork, fun, alcohol, women, gambling, music, about everything. I can't even invest my money.
I got to give up pork, alcohol, fornication, gambling, riba, interest, seems like everything. But shaitan only makes it appear that way. This is far from a reality. I say that these are even more proofs for the prophethood of Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, the Quran and Islam. And we'll be getting into all of this with my next guest, an expert on the topic that we'll be discussing. Almir Cholan is the director of the Australian Center for Islamic Finance and the CEO at Olive Investments. Almir is also an advisor to a number of institutions that provide Islamic finance. Almir was a consultant lecturer and board member for the Master of Islamic Banking and Financial course at La Trobe University. He's also produced a very well-known video called The Wisdom Behind Prohibition of Riba, Interest, a Case Study, GFC. But before we bring him out, let's see what one of the most influential Muslims that people respect today, who doesn't compromise or shy away from speaking the truth, even on this matter that we'll be discussing. And who's that? That's our brother Habib.
I'm Muslim and I try to stay away from riba. And riba, one of the biggest sin Allah mentioned in Quran. And people underestimate this. Riba can kill not couple people. They kill all like cities, countries. You know, I know a lot of people like big businessmen. When they realize what is this riba, and they have like big contracts, they offer like big banks.
Yeah.
They want to invest, and when they understand this is riba, they say no.
Mm.
They say no, only 1%, no. Half percent, no. Same thing, 0.5% or 50%. Yeah. No is no, riba is riba.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaykum assalam.
How are you, my brother?
Alhamdulillah, doing very well. What about you?
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Good. It's good, and I'm very elated and happy that we have you on the program to discuss this very important topic that will tie into many of the other things, because obviously Islam is not just a bunch of do's and don'ts, and shaitan makes it appear that way. Obviously, when people establish a relationship with their creator based on pure monotheism, tawheed, now they know the purpose of life, then there are harmful things out there. So it's a blessing that our creator is telling us these things so we're not fumbling in the dark. And you're an expert in this area that we'll be discussing. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, thank you very much for your very kind invitation. I really enjoy your program and what you're doing. And being a fellow from Bosnia, I enjoy that aspect as well. I've been always interested in sort of trying to figure out how things work, how things get done in society. and whether it's through building something, helping somebody. So I was always interested in different kinds of things. And I guess that translates in various fields. And finance is one of those areas that touches upon all different areas of life. So I like to study, I like to read, like to understand things. And so, yeah, that's I guess how I see myself, just a student of continually learning something new every day.
There's this video that a lot of people have shared. It's the wisdom behind prohibition, riba, interest. And you spoke on this topic, and a lot of people, they recommend this video that you've made. What made you go down this route that you got specifically? There's so many branches of Islam that you took an interest to get deeper into this.
Riba is one of the things that when I was locally studying fiqh or jurisprudence, Islamic jurisprudence here at my local masjid from my local sheikh, and I would study this topic and amongst many, many other topics. And when this topic came, I was just fascinated with the rules. It was very surgical, very interesting. I couldn't wrap my head around how does something like, which is such a seemingly simple thing, can be such a devastating major sin and cause so much grievances, not just in our religion, but in other religions, in our philosophical movements, in the history of mankind. So that just boggled my mind, and I started going through that. And the more I digged into that, I just got more and more amazed. And, you know, 2 decades I've been reading this subject, and this still is one of the single most amazing things that I keep discovering new things about.
This is going to be a very exciting episode. And like I said earlier, I said this for me and for many, this is not something that would bring people away. I would say this is more of a proof, even a proof. We have tons of proof, the authenticity of the Islam, the signs in the Quran, its preservation, the prophecies, the miracles of Prophet Muhammad. There's so many evidences that Islam is indeed a way of life not created by man or mankind, but from the creator of mankind. And it was sent down, and we have it in its original, the Quran, and evidence is just, you know, overwhelming. And I say all of these things are more evidences, because if Prophet Muhammad wants to bring people to his religion, to Islam, you can look contrast that with Paul, for example, who's just saying, you know, the circumcision is the heart, the law is, you know, been abrogated, and it's so much easier just to cancel out all these rules and regulations, right? But why is Muhammad going to be making it harder now? The prohibition of alcohol, pork, and all these things, then when we look deeper into it, we see they cause havoc in society, or it's harmful for us. And this is what I hope people will see also. This is another proof of the prophethood of Prophet Muhammad. What do you think about
that? I think absolutely. This is just our lack of imagination to see how big of an evidence is. This is a major piece. It's just that we cannot imagine, or we don't see, or we don't recognize. And in today's age of AI automated thinking, we all adopted one single view on how economics should be run, how things should be. And we don't realize really what is happening. So more you go into this wisdom, you start realizing, oh my God, this is such a major piece. Why is nobody talking about these things? So yes, absolutely agree with you.
We're gonna make this more interesting. There was a new Muslim by the name of I don't know if you heard of this brother of ours now. And there's two of them. There's Myron. He's a Muslim, but he's not. He says, look, you know, I don't want to. He's not really a practicing Muslim. We want the best for him. We hope this can also be another sign for him. Then there's another brother named Sneeko. He's a new Muslim. So they touch upon this topic that you're an expert in. So we'll get your reaction to it, and we'll go from there.
Muslims can't buy real estate?
He's being super strict because of usury.
No. Chat. Other Muslims in the chat, can I...
Stupid. No, you can buy real estate, but he's saying you can't take a loan on it because you pay interest with loans.
But that's like some of the basics of real estate.
That's exactly... You have to take a loan unless he's basically telling you got to buy houses cash, because that way you don't have interest. But it's very difficult to buy houses cash, and it's not intelligent.
You think like Muhammad Hijab and like all the like, is Muslim Twitter going to get mad at me if I like buy real estate?
They might. I wouldn't even disclose it.
I don't drink. Come on, man. I'm going to take out a
thing is, like, that's just not. Even though I understand the reason
gamble.
For it, like, everything in America is built on interest. Everything, Bill, because for obvious reasons. But any Western country is going to be dependent upon interest. If you have a mortgage, that's interest, bro. Like, what do you live in a house? You probably have a mortgage on that house. You're paying interest.
So that's haram?
You have your your money in a bank account. The bank is lending your money out on interest.
Bruh. This is, yo.
There's no way to avoid usury in the West. There's no way.
So what about
everything is based around interest. That's how lending in general makes money. So that you, if you want to borrow money, credit cards, interest.
Yeah. Wait, so is it haram about credit cards?
See, it depends on how religious you want to go.
So, but like, you can go down based on the Quran, is it haram to have credit cards? Because I have multiple.
I guess maybe if you're like super religious, because credit cards charge you interest if you don't pay in full.
Chat, respectfully, like, if you're gonna go criticize me for that.
So I don't claim to be a great Muslim because
how much stuff do I have to give up? Pork, fun, alcohol, women, gambling, music, about everything. I can't even invest my money.
You can invest, but you can't invest it into things that involve usury. But any real investment typically deals with interest. Unfortunately, that's just how it is.
They're saying credit cards are haram.
Yeah.
What the fuck? Yeah, okay, I'm going to ask Sheikh Guzman about that. But okay, no cloud, Alex. Okay, yeah. Is this better to sneak on mine? What's a good advice to leave alcohol? Bro, just quit.
Like, you have to quit, bro. Like, you just have to go cold turkey and you got to quit. You just have to accept the fact that like alcohol is not in your best interest as a man, and it's going to set you up for failure. Alcohol, the only people that can get away with being alcoholics all day are women, bro. Sorry.
Actually, great way. Become a Muslim.
There you go.
Because if you start drinking alcohol, you're going to go to hell. If you're a Christian, you could drink all day.
It's not beneficial, man. Alcohol is for losers anyway.
It is. Well, it's fun sometimes.
It is fun. No.
Having fun
is
fun. Adult.
I get it. It is fun. But, it's a waste of time, though. It really is a waste of time.
It's tough, man. It's been 3 months and a week now since I had a sip of alcohol on everything.
Good.
On my life, I don't want to like.
You probably feel better.
It's so much more.
There's a lot to unpackage here. Where do you want to start?
Well, not surprising. By the way, I have a son, and I'm involved here in the local Islamic college with the young people. For the last almost decade, been working there, counseling young people in terms of the career development. That's one of the other things that I've been doing on the side in my community here. And I came across most of these people, so I'm familiar with these Sneeko, Andrew Tate, these kind of individuals. And a lot of you, including my own son, actually. My son got me, first time I heard about Andrew Tate was on your podcast. Mm-hmm. And we were driving, and he said, do you want to listen to this interview with this guy? So we listened to all of your podcasts there.
Mashallah.
So I'm familiar with this kind of... And it's not surprising. This is how most of the people would think that, if I can't do it this way, then it's impossible to get something done. I can't be wealthy. I can't be happy. I can't enjoy my life. If you close the interest or gambling or drinking alcohol, how can I have fun? So this is, and you know what is interesting when you observe this, again, just coming from the young people perspective when they talk about Matrix, right? And the programming.
Mm.
Well, this is exactly it.
Wow.
Right? You've been programmed.
Good point. That's a solid point.
And so him saying that you can't get rich unless you take a loan, how do people make money? How do people buy property? In fact, opposite is true. How did Elon Musk become the richest person in the world? It's not through that. It's actually a completely opposite way. He invented something. People invested through equity. And this is even today the fastest way that people make money. So you look at the major funds in Silicon Valley, Sequoia Fund and all of these other things. What they do, they invest equity. They invest on the partnership basis. And they know some businesses will fail, some will be moderate success. But then they will be among 10, 20 businesses, one or two businesses that will do 10 times, 100 times more. And so this is how we achieve today progress. It's people who risk the money. It's not through debt. Startups are not financed through debt. So even today, majority of the progress, majority of the wealth creation is done through equity financing. And so riba or interest come later on when you have a big business that is already established, already has equity, buildings, and they can suck that wealth out of it. Then they start giving it a loan. So usually this is now at a more mature stage. And so yeah, so that's, I guess I would like also to hear, how do you see when you hear those kinds of thoughts as well?
I like what you said. This is speaking the language of the vernacular now of the youth coming up, and this whole thing with the matrix, I would say the satanic force, whatever you want to go ahead and define it as. But we understand this programming. I like what you said. This is very powerful because they also themselves are talking about these matrix and this programming that's happening. So you just hit it on the head. A light bulb should go off for them. This is just a programming. You can't have fun now without alcohol, without gambling, without all these things that are just, it's built on a premise now of things. Your life has been surrounded by these things, and these are just a few things that are prohibited, and now it just crumbles apart because one by one, if you look at what these things entail, at the end result of alcoholism and all the deaths and murders and everything. And I think about alcohol, Sheikh, and I think about the study that they had before. And now you have even conservative Christians who are giving up. Candace Owens, I don't know if you heard of her.
I quit drinking cold turkey. And I did not quit drinking because I have a problem. People are tremendous hypocrites, as I mentioned earlier, that there's the conservatives that say that we should definitely ban and make sure that drugs remain illegal, but they partake in alcohol.
And some other podcasters, they're coming out. These are women saying, we don't want to drink anymore. The studies that they used to have on alcohol, that it was like one glass of wine a day. These studies they talk about were actually done by the alcohol industry. Now there's new studies that no amount of alcohol is good for you. Subhanallah.
Said, no, moderate drinking isn't good for your health. Despite a long-held belief that moderate amounts of alcohol are good for you, a sweeping new analysis finds that the more you drink, the higher your risk of early death. It's one of the largest studies to debunk the widely held belief that moderate drinking of wine or alcoholic beverages is good for you. Last year, researchers in Britain examined genetic and medical data of nearly 400,000 people and concluded that even low alcohol intake was associated with increased risk of disease. The new study, which appears Friday in JAMA Network Open, also found that drinking relatively low levels of alcohol, 25 grams a day for women, less than 1 ounce, and 45 grams, about 1.5 ounces per day for men, actually increased the risk of death.
So why would and then, go ahead, what are you going to say?
Absolutely, and that's why you even see, you know, I was watching again, somebody sent me the clip, Andrew Tate was talking about how, you know, he smokes the cigarettes and this is a great, it keeps him alert and something else. You know, we know tobacco, again, you know, this is a music to their ears when they hear these kinds of things. And that's why in Quran we see that the question is posed. They ask you about gambling and alcohol, these kinds of things, and you know, there might be some benefit for this, but the overwhelming effect of these things is very negative. Mm-hmm. And on the point that they were mostly shocked was the issue of interest. But in reality, if we know our history or we know our present, we shouldn't be shocked. I tell you one interesting thing I recently heard. It was a podcast. It was not actually a podcast. It was an episode recorded by Patrick Bet-David's mm-hmm. PBD with two crime bosses. It was a series called United States, something about crime in United States. I forgot the exact title. So here is two, for the first time, under bosses. One of them is like a Michael from Godfather type of figure. Another one was Sammy Bull Gravano, something like
Sammy
that.
Sammy the Bull Gravano, yeah. So,
that's right. So PBD asks him at the end, after, you know, entire podcast talking about his dedication to Cosa Nostra, eliminating people, running all kinds of rackets, manipulating society, you know, engaging in all kinds of things during that time. He asked him, after you now finish the jail and everything, if you are a young man, if you were now engaging in a business, what business would you be engaged in? Mm-hmm. And his response was, I would do Shylocking. Okay.
Shylocking.
Shylocking. Uh-huh. Now, what does that mean? The Shylock is a character for Shakespeare play mm-hmm. called Merchant of Venice. And Merchant of Venice talks about, you know, Shakespeare time, Europe, 16th, 17th century, when interest was prohibited in Europe. And so Christians, also church, would excommunicate people for engaging in interest. But what the Christians used to do, they would bring Jews who they would then deal in interest. So for Jews, it was they made it between them. It's not allowed, but to the Christians, they would do it. And so this created very bad blood between Jews and Christians of the Europe. So Shakespeare is describing this moment in time when Jews and Christians sort of have this interesting relationship where they need money, Christians, but they're hiding it from church, but then they also hate Jews, which is why some of the people talk about Shakespeare being anti-Semitic. But he was not talking about religion specifically, but more about this guy named Shylock in this book, who basically gives the loan to the Christian who needs to marry a beautiful, wealthy girl, but he doesn't have money. So now to marry her, he signs up to the contract where he will give a pound of flesh. Okay? And that's where our reference in the culture comes. When somebody want to kill you, basically, or extract from you, makes you like an object, they extract pound of flesh. So it's come from that book. And so eventually, I don't want to spoil people the book, he can't repay the money. So they go to the judge, and Shylock, who is the money lender, he's demanding pound of flesh. And so it is very interesting that this criminal who is on top of the criminal boss, out of all the businesses that they could do, money laundering, tax evasion, oils, everything they had done, he picks this particular industry that he would focus on: shark loans, money lending, and shylocking. So one has to think about why, what is it with this profession that attracts these kinds of people? Why is it that, you know, you have people in the past, historians, they used to say there are only two ways to conquer a country. One is through a sword, another one is through debt. And so for anybody who wants to be awakened away from this simulation, matrix, whatever they want, they don't want to be NPCs or however they call themselves. They want to be people who critically, autonomously think for themselves. They need to ask themselves, why did I buy into this when everybody else, with all of these experience, they actually love these things? It can't be good for both. If these people are saying this will be a great way to make money, to conquer the countries and so on, and I'm swallowing that, I mean, a person who is awake should ask, what am I not seeing here?
Wow, this is deep. Okay, this is really deep. You're going into, wow, this is at the time, this was prohibited in Europe. It's actually prohibited in the Bible. So you had the Yahud who made it was prohibited, but this is the changing of the text that they made it now that they can give to each other, but they couldn't do it to each other, but they can do it to the Christians and others, charge them interest. Is that what you're
saying? That's right.
Wow, this is...
That's right. So if you... I was actually just the other day reading Talmud, which is like the tafsir, and I was going through there, like what we have in every books of hadith, we have a book of business transactions. So they also have in the Bible, of course, riba is prohibited, which is what we call interest, usury. So I was just for one presentation I have going through the book of Talmud and just to see exactly, you know, like what is it that they're saying. As I was reading the accounts of the rabbis, it's 100% exactly what they are saving. In fact, the word for riba, they use in their language is ribit. Ribit. Okay?
Ribit. That's what it's called. That's what it's called.
Ribit.
Ribit. We say that's riba, right. They say ribit.
Riba.
Wow.
Ribit. 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 They say ribit. That's right.
Interest.
It's come from the same root, means increase.
Increase.
So what increase? We're talking about increase that is not legitimate. Uh-huh. And the way that they describe the loans versus equity loans, who is involved, as if you are reading Islamic text, the guarantor, the witness, it's allowed in this case, the example they put. And they say that this is a deadly sin. And I put then this information in ChatGPT. I said, let me ask ChatGPT, based on this, how come they allow it to themselves? So I had a chat with the GPT and I said, how, based on these, do you figure out, like, you know these references, like, where is it? So we had a discussion and said, you know, you have to reinterpret this deadly sin in the Torah, in the, you know, like in the Bible as such and such. And I said, okay, well, what is the evidence to say it's allowed between them because it's related to deadly sin? At the end, ChatGPT said, well, you know, it's just interpretation. And so it's very interesting when I then listen to the rabbis who are I listen some of their talks about how they explain. It's amazing. It's just like you're listening to Islamic scholars talking about this issue. So the law is exactly the same. Then I went to ask, go through the Christian sort of relationship with riba. And you have a example in the Bible where Jesus, peace be upon him, enters the temple and see people engaging in interest transaction in the church, in the temple, and he throws them out. And he said to them, you have made this temple the den of thieves. So he threw the money-changing tables. And this is at the time where Christian pilgrims used to visit Holy Land, and they would pay taxes to the church in the silver shekels. But because their money was in pagan symbols, they would exchange the silver coin for another silver coin without these. And then they would, in this process, charge them a lot of money in return. So he linked this to the injustice, to something that is thieves would do. So it's just very interesting when you look at all of these references, you can go as much as you want in the history. This was always seen as most unnatural way of making money.
Mm-hmm. And it goes back to what you're saying. So we've been programmed now to do it the wrong way. Doesn't mean it's the right way. And we should be honored and we're blessed truly that we have a way of life, Islam, that doesn't compromise to these things, doesn't compromise to the alphabet movement. It doesn't compromise now to go ahead and win people in that now you're at the houses of worship, the churches, and you got the bands and it's like a concert and whatnot and doing anything, to go ahead and bring people in. No, these rules are there. They're set. There's few, but there's far more things that are allowed. And the things when someone looks into the alcohol, gambling, destroying homes, destroying society, riba, now at the small level and the big level, enslaving someone. And you gave a great example, Sammy the Bull. For people that don't know, this is the right-hand hitman to the New York crime boss, John Gotti. And you're saying that in his interview with Patrick Ben David, that he was talking about, this is what he would be into now. This is it right here. So people can understand if you go and it's evil, like if you would go and say, I need 10,000, you're vulnerable, you're weak, you need some money. And then Sammy the Bull gives you 10,000 and it's like almost double. You got to give back. Right. And if you don't give that back now, what happens? You end up breaking your legs, then your arm, and then you can end up in the grave, right? But in this case, we saw what was happening to people. They were maybe almost close to paying off, but they wanted their pound of flesh. The bankers now, the mafia guys got into the suits now, and now they're the bankers. And now what was happening to the society? What was happening even in the collapse, when all the homes were being foreclosed, people were going, they didn't care about the people and what was happening with the family. It doesn't matter what they were getting thrown out in the streets. And the Islam prevents this because it has true justice. What are your thoughts on that?
Yes, that's one of the most deepest programming today because everybody accepts that as it is. And it's not for no reason that the mafia boss, this is the very simple way to make money. You don't really need to do anything. It's a very lazy mentality and it affects everything that we are doing. In fact, as a result of this borrowing, because what is the interest is when you give somebody money on interest, money gives birth. So if I give one person $100, 5%, and then he gives to another person at 6%, and then and on and on and on. Money keeps giving the birth. And so if you look at current economy, for example, let's say everything that we produce on planet Earth is, let's say, $50 trillion. Now, the amount of debt, amount of interest, amount of this financial economy is maybe 20 times that. Now, think about all of that assets, financial assets, which are just a debt, money giving birth, they need to return some profit for their investors. Where is that profit going to come from? When the earth is just 5%, even if we give entire earth to them, it's just for 1 year. Where is the next? So what that incentivizes creation is even more artificial products. And therefore, when you run a normal business, now you are running against people who make money in this synthetic way. And you can't make a real products to compete with synthetic product, with a fake products. How do you get these type of returns? For example, in Australia, we have one of the banks. It's 25 million people live in Australia. In the worst of time, they say, inflation worse, post-COVID, debt is rising. When everybody is tightening their belt, they had this year, one of the four banks had $10 billion profit from 25 million Australians. It's a record that we are seeing. And so one has to ask themselves, the way this currently is happening around us. I'll give you one simple scenario how currently, if we just observe on the higher level, how we bought and how deeply we bought in this. We have now major inflation that resulted of the COVID and the breakdown of economy, supply line, what they called, where things are more difficult to make, more expensive to make. And so this inflation is going in America, in US, everywhere, right? And so if you look at the average person, they are now having the home loan where they're paying 20%, 25% of their salary to the bank. So what we have collectively as a world bought into is the way to manage this inflation, to make things a little bit cheaper, is to increase interest rates. So every central bank in the world now is increasing interest rates. Now, this comes at a time when you have massive debt as a result of us not working during the COVID. Everyone was borrowing, governments were borrowing and printing money. So it's like you give to your son credit card, he's not working. And so he increased debt. So then you go and you ask him, okay, are you going to get a job? He says, no, I'm going to keep increasing debt.
Wow.
And I'm going to increase the interest rates on that debt as well.
Hmm.
So in our wisdom, we now are saying, I bought a house, like in Australia, last 12 months, we had 12 increases of interest rates by the central bank. So the average teacher who is on 100K salary, 25% goes to the bank. In this 1 year, another 10% goes to the bank. So think of this, what's happening. You have purchased the home through the bank last year. And the sale is concluded, but the bank come and say, you know what, you should be maybe giving me more money. Imagine if you went to the supermarket and you bought the milk for $2, and 1 year later they say, you know, that milk you bought for $2, we would like another dollar that you give us. This is exactly what is happening with the bank. An entire system, I was watching head of one of the, I think, Nigeria, there was a lady, I think she was a Muslim, she was a finance minister at the panel of IMF, and they were asking her, how do you fight inflation and current situation problems in your country? And basically she said, we're going to refinance our debt. And then IMF said, well done, that's exactly how you should do it. Everybody is bought in. So if you are not thinking like this, the only one head of state in Turkey, President Erdogan, said, you know, maybe we should do opposite. Everybody attacked him. He doesn't know what he's doing. He is not conventional. And the whole world started collapsing around him. Mm-hmm. So again, it's a very interesting how from the criminals to these other organizations, they seem to value this way of doing business and running economy in this way.
I remember back in the day, because also, you know, being in doing some real estate and whatnot, and when I first started practicing Islam, and most people just go through the motions, and they're not really, they just see the bill, okay, I'm getting this loan, and when you get the payment, let's say your payment is like $3,000 a month, people don't understand, like, isn't that robbing you? You're paying actually, what is it, the majority of going towards for how many years? Just towards the interest. So if your payment is like $3,000 a month, you're paying like $2,700 is just going towards the interest. Almost the majority. Mm. And then that's for like, that's for how many years? Just that alone. It's like people really, they're just, you know, bought into this and they're not even thinking, you know. So we're trying to get people the, not to talk about many of the exploitation of the urban areas. You gave the great example of, you know, with a child, you know, a young man, or the urban areas where they put these places out and they're giving this money away and they enslave the people. So Allah don't want you to be a slave to creation, but a slave to the creator. That's when you get true freedom. I want to show you this next clip because I want people to see, because now we're seeing things from the speck on the painting. Allah is trying to sees the whole picture. So we have to have trust in our creator. And something that hits home is this next video here. I'm pretty sure you've probably seen it. And this really comes
brings things to light, how at a bigger scale, not just people get enslaved, but whole institutions, countries get enslaved. Let's take a look at this and have you react to it.
This is what we were saying before.
We economic hitmen really have been the ones responsible for creating this first truly global empire. And we work many different ways. But perhaps the most common is that we will identify a country that has resources our corporations covet, like oil, and then arrange a huge loan to that country from the World Bank or one of its sister organizations. But the money never actually goes to the country. Instead, it goes to our big corporations to build infrastructure projects in that country, power plants, industrial parks, ports, things that benefit a few rich people in that country, in addition to our corporations, but really don't help the majority of the people at all. However, those people, the whole country is left holding a huge debt. It's such a big debt they can't repay it, and that's part of the plan, that they can't repay it. And so at some point, we economic hitmen go back to them and say, listen, you lost a lot of money, can't pay your debt, so sell your oil real cheap to our oil companies. Allow us to build a military base in your country, or send troops in support of ours to someplace in the world like Iraq, or vote with us on the next UN vote. To have their electric utility company privatized and their water and sewage system privatized and sold to U.S. corporations or other multinational corporations. So there was that whole mushrooming thing, and it's so typical of the way the IMF and the World Bank work. They put a country in debt, it's such a big debt it can't pay it, and then you offer to refinance that debt and pay even more interest. And you demand this quid pro quo, which you call a conditionality or good governance, which means basically that they've got to sell off their resources, including many of their social services, their utility companies, their school systems sometimes, their penal systems, their insurance systems to foreign corporations. So it's a double, triple, quadruple whammy.
This was a short clip from The Economic Hitman. Have you seen this?
I read the book, actually, few of his books.
Yeah. So does this hit home to what we're talking about? Now, if you look at it at a bigger scale, countries, nations are being enslaved by this riba, by this interest.
Absolutely, absolutely. Actually, just last week, I put a tweet that Uganda voted a specific law against LGBT. And the first thing World Bank did was that they tweeted back that as a result of this law, they will not anymore issue the finances for the country. And IMF also said they will reconsider our involvement. And so it's very interesting that I was looking at the World Bank. Their mission seems to be fight poverty, you know, but they are here using that money mechanism to push certain agenda. And we are talking about countries that for decades have been receiving these loans. They have, let's say, look at the African countries. They have some of the largest natural resources in the world, potential for enormous wealth. And all of this money, you would think by now that their infrastructure, their exports would be making everybody's life rich. Mm. And isn't it interesting that this guy who used to be what they call economic hitman, where he described exactly how they were robbing the countries, is using this example of debt as a weapon to make countries weaker and make themselves richer. So how is it that these guys look at this as a weapon that they use to destroy countries, make them weaker, and yet we somehow think that this is the tool to make us richer? Like, just doesn't make sense. Now, this is not to say that I don't want people to get a wrong idea. We as Muslims, we want to own homes and businesses, and there are ways where you can finance through organization, financial institutions, Islamic way, if you don't have finances to buy a home and so on. But what we are talking about is more like a system of incentives that allow for massive exploitation, something that focuses our energy in the wrong direction. So we are talking about here incentivizing certain behavior that open door for exploitation. And this is what happens on smaller level and also on the larger level.
We'll get into some solutions that you just mentioned. Let's get into another clip of the part of the conversation between our brothers, Myron and Sneeko.
That's how you avoid paying taxes, my
friends. Wait, that's all legal?
Yes.
I can like avoid taxes legal?
Yes, and this is now going back to what I was saying. So let's say you buy a house $100,000 cash, right?
Yeah.
You get that tax benefit on that one house on $100,000 cash.
Yeah.
But what would make more sense? If you took that $100,000 cash that you have and bought four houses and put $25,000 down on each, and now you're able to write off $400,000 worth of taxes. But you only spend $100,000. That is why buying houses cash is stupid. It's better to buy the house
the haram way.
Unfortunately, yes, with banks.
Allahu Akbar!
Okay. Because you're able to leverage the banks to get better tax breaks.
Okay.
Because you're buying four houses for $400,000 versus buying one house for $100,000. And you're getting cash flow from those four houses. Now, people might say, well, if you buy the house cash, you don't have a mortgage, you get more cash flow because you don't have to pay the mortgage. That's true. But when it comes to tax benefits and the appreciation that you're going to enjoy from those four houses, you actually make more money by saving more money by buying the four houses.
Sneeko's like, it's logical. It seems like it's making sense. And some of these things might make some sense, but Dean comes in. People say religion is holding me back now. How am I going to, you know, how would you respond to what the argument that our brother Myron is making?
Look, this is an interesting point. One thing to note here is that this issue of interest is being embedded in the system, and you do get tax exemption, tax breaks, and some benefits. This actually is a whole different conversation. This idea of preferring debt over equity started long time ago, actually after the Second World War, when much of the world was destroyed, and a lot of countries, they didn't want, you know, a few countries that were still with the money and resources to buy everything in every country. And so, you know, America could have went to Europe or any other country and buy everything. So they made equity a bit more harder versus a debt when you are investing. And so these kind of laws, taxation reflects this reality. And so our code does allow you that. But with these kinds of, I think, this way of thinking, it's a very interesting way of thinking, first, to notice the way that they think. And this is what Riba mentality does to the people. Everybody these days is talking about some way of making passive income, making money by doing nothing. So what you will notice in all of these financial advices, they read a book, Poor Dad, Rich Dad by Robert, you know, or somebody else. This is a cut and paste from these kinds of books. But most of these advices revolve about you doing nothing productive. Okay? You're not providing any benefit. You're not doing anything. You're not building the houses. You're not thinking how to be an engineer, how to create new technology, how to create new medicine, how to improve somebody's life. No, you're just thinking, how can I make more money without doing anything? Now, if you can do that halal way, that's not a problem. But yeah, that sort of mentality where we are squeezing maximum profit and we are not thinking about our starting point is not how do I solve some problem, how do I benefit somebody. And so this is what brings us in all kinds of problems. Now, these things, let's say if we're just talking about from economic side, can this, what he's describing, you buy four houses, you're making repayments, can that work? It could work for somebody's situation, and this is how a lot of people make money. But it's very important. I know people for whom this didn't work, because once you lose the tenant in one house and you can't repay, what happens to that cash flow? You don't have a cash flow. You're already stretched. If you want to replace it, you need to wait. So there is a lot of things that can go wrong when people start stretching themselves. So more often than not, this also results in wealth destruction. I know a lot of people, a lot of businesses, they stretch themselves. They're holding all of these four or five different things. But somebody needs to pay these things. If something doesn't go, there is also a domino. So it's very risky. Now, again, going back to the, you know, how to create wealth. The best way to create wealth is by producing something of value, satisfying some demand that makes sense. And this could be a part of mix if you have halal finance where you buy house for investment. But it's very important to notice that sort of attitude, how we make money, that risk appetite, that aggressiveness, that can often result in harm. So it's not a clear cut issue. It's not as simple as they make it to be. So a lot of young people, they might listen to this and they say, oh, this is so easy, just make a lot of these purchases. And this is what sometimes create a lot of problem down the lane, this kind of risky loans. And in Australia, for example, we have a law against these kinds of behavior where if you cannot afford to buy homes, you cannot make repayment, you don't have a cash flow to support your repayments, you cannot take loans, even in conventional. So it's important to be sort of balanced and responsible, and also make sure that what you do is not going into the haram for the sake of just making more money in a risky way.
There is a statement that our brother Myron made. He said, that's why buying houses cash is stupid. And then Sneeko replies to the haram way. To me, I was thinking, you know, and then somewhere in the conversation, they mentioned, Sneeko asked him, is this legal? And it's interesting, people will look at what's legal in the material world that we live in, but then they take as a joke what's illegal with Allah, you know, the creator right. of creation. They take this very, very softly, you know. They don't really take the severe consequences of riba. Why is Allah actually saying you're waging a war? Can you talk about that? This is a war.
Well, this also, what is legal is a result of human experience. Human, when we regulate things in our society, we try to prevent disasters. You will remember the global financial crisis exactly was caused because the loans were given to people who couldn't afford them.
Yeah.
And so this worked for a time being, but when these people couldn't repay those loans, the domino effect started affecting everybody. So you are creating like a financial cancer by doing things that starts then risking entire organ to be affected and poisoned by doing these kinds of things. So you know, even a matter of home, it's another big discussion. But you know, I advise people, you know, especially for your own homes, you know, pay off your home. That's a very important piece. It's a lifestyle decisions, and then you know, you extend yourself how much so that it doesn't cause you just to be constantly worried. Because also, this type of a lifestyle create almost gambler's lifestyle. They are always on edge. They are always looking at the market, what's happening, because at any moment, these domino around them, they stretch themselves, they can start falling. So you see them, they don't have time for anything. They are not sleeping. They are just constantly alert. They're constantly annoyed. And so it's a not really, it's almost like a gambling. You are gambling with so many pieces. It's not a lifestyle for a Muslim.
That's deep. That's really deep. Constantly worrying, always on the edge. It's like a house of cards that at any time something things can collapse, and then boom, all this, you know, that you've set up, it's, you're living on the edge. You just keep stretching things out. And it reminds me of the statement, authentic hadith from the last and final messenger sent to mankind, Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him. He said, live debt free, live a free man, you know. So it's a big difference when you're debt-free rather than on the edge. You got all of this money that you owe.
Scholars used to say about debt that it's a humiliation in the day and worry in the night. And this is for halal debt.
Say it again. A humiliation during the...
That they used to say that debt, halal debt, not with the riba, is humiliation during the day and the worry in the night.
Mm-hmm.
And the Prophet ﷺ talked about that as a prison, something that imprisons you.
Wow.
So for sure, this affects your mindset. In fact, if you now look at the majority of divorces, problems, and issues, Allah talking about interest is a waging war. If you think about majority of the problem is a result of financial difficulties, financial problems. And so personally, psychologically, number of people who are affected, just yesterday, the money problems are everywhere around us, you know, and it's all fine and cozy when things are going great. But, you know, when things start collapsing, everybody starts getting affected. In fact, just for your information, yesterday I've been talking in the Bosnian page about one pyramid scheme that recently collapsed, and I've been talking about it in Bosnia for a couple of months, and people were contacting me now who were investing, And the lady was just this morning saying that I got my close friends and people to invest with me. Now I lost money. Now my mental health is going. I'm anxious. I have anxiety. I can't show my face to the people. So when these financial troubles hit, then you see the reality. And that's why people are on the edge, because they build around themselves all of these structures that keeps them on the edge. There is no sakina. There is no peace. There is no tranquility. They can't focus on anything. And the best way to imprison somebody like that is exactly through that state of mind.
People are not thinking. This is a episode that you guys got to share, get out there, because so many people, their marriage are being destroyed. You mentioned their lives are upside down. They're not connecting it to the war being waged with their creator. Mm. And now they can't have peace within themselves, peace within their home. There's no barakah, no sakina, what you said, that tranquility of peace. And stress kills. Stress literally kills. So how many people, they're on the edge, they're stressed out. And they all that money they're making, they cannot buy, as I say, you can't buy a six-pack of peace. Peace comes and tranquility, contentment from obeying your creator, not disobeying your creator. What were you going to say, Sheikh?
I know people who are, every time you go out of the balance of something that is normal, you stretch, you push yourself, whether it's you work too much time, you know, or you take on debt that you can't handle and so on. What starts happening is, you know, your child, your son come to you. You don't see your son. You see numbers, debts in your mind. You can't relax. You can't do anything. And so this is very, 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 very big problem today.
Mm-hmm. There's the hadith, I'm paraphrasing, talking about at the end of the day, a person will go through all these troubles and they'll jump through all these haram loops and everything and whatnot just to get the risk what's written for them. Just, it's already written how much you're going to go ahead and amass. Is this correct, Sheikh? And then you have the haram way or the halal way. And at the end, you lose this life, you die, and now you're standing in front of your maker, your creator, and you only got what's written for you. But at the end, the other person sacrificed and did it the halal, the permissible way. You got paradise. This party ends in this life, but you got Jannah. Right. You see the face of your Lord, and forever, ever, you don't have to go ahead and worry about anything because you're in bliss now, in Jannah. Why are you going to sacrifice this temporary life that can end at any time and you lose what's eternal forever in Jannah? It just doesn't make any sense. What were you saying?
Yes, absolutely. You know, in reality, this comes down to the definition of what is wealth, because all of these clips are talking about wealth generation and things like that. So the wealth that you, today capitalism perfected this aspect of extracting our all time for that money. Mm-hmm. And this is something, a miracle of capitalism, that you spend all of your time, all of your thinking and free time and mind power for acquiring that wealth. And even if you cannot spend it, I know people who are extremely wealthy. They spend whole day looking at the screens in their shop. They don't want to see anybody. Mm. And often what starts happening with them, I say this often to my students, is when they get to this stage where only thing that they are thinking number and focusing just on that. I was recently visiting a doctor who retired recently with my wife, my wife told me that, you know, when she was speaking to his wife, she said, you know, although they have millions in saving and, you know, Porsche and several houses and the cars, they say in the morning they skip a breakfast and only for the lunch they have a little bit of bread with the butter. And I say, how is that possible? Is it diet? Is it what? She said, no. They are afraid of the poverty.
Wow.
I say, how can they be afraid? They have all of these millions. But then I remember that, you know, if you live life just focusing on that, that's all you see around yourself. If you are just like, you know, when you buy a new car, and you know, when my daughter bought a Honda Civic, I never seen Honda Civic in my life before in the street. When she bought it, I see it everywhere, you know. And so if you live your life just concerned about yourself, then you think everybody is like you. And so you are very tight because you think, if I get in trouble tomorrow, there's nobody going to help me. So I need to be there for myself. And so you are afraid even if you have everything. Mm. On the other hand, if you live a more balanced life and you help out people, you live in the community, and then you think, you know, even if something happens to me that is maybe not good and I lose my money, but you are doing good in the community. You know and you see other good people. So you start automatically being relaxed because you think there are other people who will help me out. So even though you're living exactly the same, you have completely different outlook because the way you are engaging, you are charitable, you're spending money. And this is the essence. Essence here is in your heart, what you feel is enough of wealth. Because our grandfather in paradise, he had everything, but he still had that anxiety. Now, you can't have that here in this world. You will not have 99% of this planet wealth in your pocket. But our great father, he had everything. But Shaitan comes to him and say, do you want to be like angels, self-sufficient? You know, he want to sell him this insurance, you know, a policy, this banking product. You want this credit card? If you have this, if you have this loan, if you have whatever is the word, he's selling him. He says, you will be eternal like these angels. And so this is the human weakness. So our purpose really is to recognize, don't attach your happiness, your success, your wealth to these kind of material things. Do what you can to create material wealth, but don't sacrifice all of your time, you know. But live a balanced life. Try to have time to enjoy this, what you are getting. All not to be a slave to this system that is designed around you. Mm-hmm.
The matrix that you've been programmed with, like you started in the beginning, program you need to think like this. If you're talking about this programming, condition yourself to program yourself the right way, the way that your creator wants you programmed, so you can go ahead and get to the real paradise, Jannah. Last clip here and we'll wrap it up.
Morocco, from these guys, they showed us around and they were saying that Islamic banks will make up for it by doing extremely large fees. So it's like, okay, they don't make the money on the interest, but they'll just like
fucking... So they're going to charge you a bunch of money to lend you the money.
Yes, yes. Which is the same sh- just a different... There's just they make back the money on fees.
You know, okay, that okay. So what it probably is then? Okay, so they give you a fixed fee.
Yes.
Up front versus charging you interest.
Yes.
Okay. I guess that's one way around it. But sure. You're probably, if you do the math, you'll probably end up paying them more. Maybe. I don't. I mean, you,
who knows?
Like, yeah, who
it
knows?
Depends on how much time. And another 20 from Ajwad. Salam, brothers. I'm a 20-year.
Here's the thing: are they going to give you a real estate loan? They might give you a private loan, but are they going to really give you $700,000 to go buy a home?
Definitely not.
This is the other thing now. You have this Islamic banking, and many of the scholars, when they look at this, a lot of them don't qualify as Sharia compliant. What are your thoughts on what they're talking about, this part, the Islamic banking, supposedly?
So this is not a new case. So in Quran, when there is discussion, Allah is saying that people will be on the Day of Judgment awakened, they will be brought like intoxicating, like being beaten into insanity. And the reason why they will be on the Day of Judgment like this is because they say trade is like interest. So it's very interesting that this argument persists, that they say this is like that. And this is one of the verses that always interests me. Like, how is this simple idea? Why is it that people always say that this is same like this? Why is it if I give you $10 and get $11 from you, why is that interest? Why is that not allowed? But if I sell you this for $10 or $11 and I pay $10 and I make same amount of money on this, why is that permissible? And so idea here is that we start now developing the core principle. And everything starts with the principle, core principle or differentiation between what is the function of money in economy, what is the difference for the asset, what's the purpose of everything. And so you start building like a DNA cell of the economy. It starts from very simple things. But then on the top of that, how you build these things is where the whole difference is. So, for example, if you look, as our scholars used to say, Imam Ghazali used to say that money is a judge of other things. It's there to basically, as students of economy today would say, is to be something that price the goods, that is a medium of exchange, help us buy and sell and so on. So it's a judge of other commodities. It's a very old definition, but it's very precise. So it's a judge other commodity. And it's he said that you can't then buy and sell judge. Right? You can. It has to be objective. It has to be outside of that economy to perform its job. And so what we have effectively done in this economy is we have made money as any other commodity that is bought and sold. And so this by itself undermines the purpose for which we have money. So that's why in Islam, money, you cannot buy and sell it. It's a not commodity. It's there to facilitate the real economy. So rather than money growing exponentially and giving birth and so on, we must always engage in a real economic activity. So to go back to what they were saying about how Islamic banks would do these kinds of things is that in order for them to extend financing, they need to buy the home. So they would, Islamic bank would have to buy a property and then either sell you or lease you or enter into some kind of a partnership with you. And the difference here is that where conventional bank gives you money to get more money, Islamic bank would have to engage in some kind of a trade where the link between money and money is cut. So in a sense, what we are saying, money must become some sort of an asset. And then debt is sold or leased for a profit. And so from that basic principle, which sounds maybe trivial, we build entire system. And, you know, in many other aspects of life, you could think of very basic principle, and then you can extrapolate to entire system of economy, how we run things, you know, and so on. But the logic of it is basically to say to us, all of these rules in Islam are there to say, don't focus your energy on doing something that is artificial, it's synthetic, doesn't benefit people. Focus your energy on activities that are directly impacting lives and benefiting people. And so this is a difference between synthetic transactions that are designed just to maximize the profit. There is no ethics. And this is why capitalism creates this huge wealth inequality. You know, there is no way this wealth will trickle down. You know, the capitalism lost entire value system. And it will end up with the same effect that socialism and communism will end up with, which is the concentration of wealth in very few hands, controlling that and squeezing everybody with no value. And so only when you have certain values attached and right way to go about creating wealth, you know, accumulating wealth, protecting wealth, distributing the wealth in the right way. And this is where, if you look at holistically Islamic economic system, it tackles all of these areas, put the system, and that's where you see the balance. That's when you see the miracle of it. Once you take a step back and say, now I understand why these bits and pieces. Just like in society, you say, the small cell of family is then basis of community. Then community functions like this, and then you have, you know, the society. So in a similar way, you know, it's what you built. If you spoil the beginning step and you say, oh, well, you know, the marriage is nothing, you know, it's man can do whatever he wants and don't worry about, then that will corrupt one stage of the marriage and then the next of the community and who is who in that hierarchy. So this is how we need to think about it. It's, again, it's a longer piece to now paint economic entire system, but that's what we are just discussing is the basis and the first building block in the entire framework of how we see economy versus conventional way.
This is obviously a little bit of a deeper topic. And of course, you know, somebody who's new to Islam, we don't start, you know, just overloading them. It's step by step. We understand these things and, you know, developing that human being, helping a human being to, one, have a connection with their creator and that pure monotheism, you know, preparing themselves, you know, getting out, seeking knowledge and growing and in their love for their creator, knowing who their creator is. And then they're going to have a complete balance in life. Then they're going to put their creator first because they know their creator. They love their creator. They fear displeasing their creator. And then their decisions, you know, the way they run through life is not going to be just based on their desires and the matrix programming like you had talked about. So yeah. Any last closing advice for Myron? We have love for these brothers. Myron, I don't think he's practicing Muslim. What advice do you have for him? He openly says it. And then Sneeko, also, he's just a new Muslim, about 3.5 months. He's happy, like, well, he's not happy. He says, like, you know, he can't have fun. He hasn't drunk alcohol for 3.5 months. I can't invest now, right? Which he obviously can, the halal way. But what advice do you have for these brothers?
Well, a couple of things. Number one, let me start off by first saying that, you know, there are ways to find that you have Islamic banks. that offer financial products, or you have financial institutions in most of the countries in the world that people are buying the homes and you know, they can help you with the investment opportunities. A lot of investment funds here in Australia, we have several finance companies that help people buy for last 30 years homes, that invest money, that screens where to invest money and so on. So there isn't anything that is good, that is permissible, that you cannot find some alternative. So it's, Islam is not about excluding you from participating in economy, but you have to do it in an ethical and the right way. So when you're investing, for example, money in a certain stocks, you need to see, you know, is this stock something that aligns with my values? Like, for example, if I ask Sneeko, would you invest in Disney? Mm-hmm. He would say, no way now. What the programming they are pushing out. A similar way. You need to have a filter for, do my values align with what I'm investing money in, right? I'm not just going to invest in Disney because they had a good quarter, you know, but I might invest, for example, in whatever they're now investing, Rumble or Twitter or whatever, you know, like, because they align with these kind of ideas. So that's number one. Number two issue here is what I would say to them is that what we notice from them is that they are speaking their mind very bravely, very openly. They are not afraid to even get something wrong, and I think this is a great and very, very refreshing. So even if they get something wrong, even if they say something, I think Muslims should not jump immediately. There should be a discussion, understanding. We are talking here about individuals who are thinking people, who want to have evidence and the reason. Islam invites skepticism and curiosity and challenge, and let's focus on that aspect, you know. Now, when somebody say, but they are wrong about this, you know, one day the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was having a dream and he came to Abu Bakr. And he said, you know, I had this dream, and Abu Bakr said, can I interpret it? He says, okay, give it a go. So he said, this is this, 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 and this. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him, you got some and you missed some. Okay? Now, if Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was not 100% in his opinions, and he would miss some and get some, which one of us will have 100% of everything? We, every human, will now miss something and get something. So I encourage this very positive discussion. I don't see it as a weakness or something that people should jump. It's a great, they are having great conversation. And I would encourage them, you know, this issue of financial economy and the economy in general is such a major issue. It's such a major issue is for somebody who wants to be at that level of thinking where I think they want to be at the top G, right? Top G of that. They need to understand what's going on. They need to be much more deeply understanding these mechanics. Mm-hmm. They need to examine why they think what they think. Where do these principles come from that they learned and so on. So I would definitely encourage that discussion. It's fun to see it, and I wish them all the best. And I hope Muslims are very supportive and encouraging. And I think your way of engaging in this discussion is very positive. So That's I think, great to see.
Thank you very much again for being with us here and helping to go deeper into this topic. Hopefully, inshallah, God willing, people can see things from a different perspective and this helps get them out of the programming, out of the matrix.
Inshallah.
Jazakallah. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam.
I'm sure all of you know Eddie from The Dean Show, and I'm sure that you've all heard about The Dean Center. Now, you don't want to miss on this opportunity. The brother has been around for a long time. When I became Muslim, that was a show that I used to watch. It was one of the shows that I actually was interviewed on. And since then, I've kept in touch with Eddie, and we've cooperated and participated in many things together, alhamdulillah, by the blessings of Allah. Now you guys have to do your part. This is for the Ummah. There's so many people in this world who need the message of Islam. But the question is now, what you're gonna do? What are you going to do with your money? With what you have, what are you going to do to help the Ummah, to help someone who's been around for 20 years doing da'wah? You've enjoyed the shows, you've enjoyed the interviews, you've enjoyed. Now it's your turn. Support the Dean Center.
cannot leave without giving you a gift. If you're not yet Muslim and you're tuning in to see what these Muslims are talking about and you like a free copy of the Quran, go ahead and visit thedeanshow.com. We'll take care of the postage and everything and get it delivered to you. And if you still have some questions about Islam, call us at 1-800-662-4752. We'll see you next time. Until then, peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum.